Yo, VIP, word to your mother.
Dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, Frosh. So if it's going to, so Vincent, you haven't been yet, so it's time to pay attention. Steven is going to run the team right, so he'll get up off the floor and back on D like lightning. Will he ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Give him the rock, and he'll show all you new kids what it takes to be a Jayhawk and selfish even when you never get to play much. DJ, he's on the beatbox. Keep rocking, son. Damn! Give the man a little room. He's killing competition like a poisonous mushroom. Inferior when it comes to pure ability, but any effort less than the best ain't the remedy. Love him or leave him, you better make way. Might hit a couple three-pointers if he gets to play. If there is a problem, self will solve it. Get your act together, because the lines up revolving.
Vanilla. Vanilla Vincent.
Wow.
Wow.
Welcome to a special edition of the Spotcast.
That's how we're going
to
close out the year right there. Props to Cool Keith Freeze.
Wow.
How about that little rap song he pulled for us after the last podcasters?
Writing on KUSports.com.
How about that?
Wow.
And wow. How about Steven Vincent? Again, brings them energy, but he wasn't even the biggest story among the point guards of the Jayhawks last night in their not too impressive victory over New Orleans. The big story was Mario Chalmers.
It was, but let's give props to Vanilla Vincent quick, since, you know, he's got his own rap song now. You got to be somebody to have your own rap song. Last night, Steven, 21 minutes, 2 for 3 from the floor, 6 points. More importantly, not many turnovers.
He brings the energy. Not many turnovers for Mario Chalmers either. 5 assists, 1 turnover for Chalmers. And how about at the end of the game when Chalmers fakes the jump shot, fakes everybody in the place
except
out of their seats.
Darnell Jackson.
Except for Darnell Jackson, who seemed to know it was coming. Big fake, and then the nice soft bounce pass to Darnell Jackson inside. Darnell Jackson, big game for him, big game for Julian Wright, big game for pretty much everybody who came off the bench, and the only starter who had a good game was Russell Robinson. Robinson and Chalmers together were terrific, really brought the defensive energy, caused a ton of turnovers.
How about that big game by Micah Downs, too? Oh, wait.
Ooh.
Micah Downs.
Micah, 0 minutes.
Line. Wait, yeah, before we go anywhere, here's Micah's line for the night. 0 minutes, 0 points, 0 assists, turnovers, guys. 0 turnovers for Micah Downs.
Which was better than Jeff Hawkins.
Right. Hey, Jeff, 4 turnovers. Micah Downs has 3 turnovers all season long, which is maybe one reason why Rick Majerus on the halftime show of Oklahoma State's getting blown out by UAB referenced that Kansas, and the first thing out of Rick Majerus' mouth is, and they've got Micah Downs. If Tim Duncan is the big fundamental, Micah Downs is the little fundamental.
Wow.
And
then
last
the next
night,
day,
he was the fundamental.
No point, no minutes.
Apparently
didn't get off
mental.
The bench. So, you know, but to me, it doesn't bother me when Self plays head games with Micah Downs. It was driving me nuts when you'd see Wright and Chalmers not get the minutes, because they need to get the minutes to calm their games down and to really just tighten their games up.
So wait a
Micah
minute.
Downs has got a tight game. That's
so
not
this,
the problem.
Is this the same guy that was telling us that Micah needed more minutes? He's okay with Micah not getting minutes now?
Yeah, he needed more minutes to help the team. And
okay,
I still believe,
minutes.
Yes, with last night's thing, I still believe that he needs more minutes. But I think Self believes that this team,
he's
in order
ready.
To be good, he's got it. Micah's got to be a part of it, and that's why he did that last night.
Well, Tom, when we talked about this last week, I think when you and I were talking about this, I had Micah in my starting lineup come February.
Right.
You did not. You said he's much better off the bench because he's polished and he can come in at any point. He doesn't need to start. So maybe this is just another move that proves that he's going to be one of those role players eventually if he starts getting minutes again.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing him start. I was projecting what I thought self-starting five would be, and I thought – he goes with defense over offense, but geez, I didn't think he'd be out of the rotation. But if you're Micah Downs, you're looking at it. Steven Vincent and Jeremy Case were not in the rotation. Now they are. So what does he got to do? Whatever it is that's driving Self nuts, maybe, who knows?
Us.
Maybe there was
probably
a
us asking
well,
those
kind of
questions
that,
all the time.
But maybe there was a loose ball at his ankles or something, and Steven Vincent flew from out in the hall to get the loose ball, and Micah watched it in practice. It could be something as simple as that, just to get through to him that, hey, you've got to approach this game differently than you're approaching it.
I still love the energy that Steven Vincent comes with, and Kevin and I have talked about this. There's no guy on the floor that really, you know, calls out everybody when things are going wrong, but Steven, on a play last night, an inbounds play, players were not where they should be, and Vincent turned around and said, guys, let's get this going. He jumped back, and then he got on his man and turnover, Jackson went the other way.
Really one of the few guys you ever see much emotion from, even from a good play. You never see that guy, you know, that in a tough situation sticks a three, and then when he's running back on, you know, on defense, turns around and says, you know, right now, we're going to do this right now. Who's coming with me? And they need that kind of guy. And who would have ever thought at the beginning of the season that
Steven
might
Vincent.
Be Steven Vincent?
I think Julian Wright can be that kind of guy. You want it to be a point guard, but Julian Wright has that kind of a leadership personality.
And I don't know about you guys, but talking to him, I mean, he talks. He's a good talker, and he talks a lot to us, but he's kind of quiet just in his voice, in his tone when he talks. He doesn't have, I don't know if about the speaking up, and you know, I expect that from freshmen. I don't expect freshmen to come in and really be, you know, really in your face kind of deal, but there's nobody's accountable for anything right now on the floor, and that's because there's nobody to, you know, no seniors to keep the younger guys in check right now. And the guys that are the seniors that are supposed to fill that role, they don't have enough experience to do it.
Really, they don't have a ton of experience. How about Chalmers last night, though? The 20 minutes he sat, the score was 27-27. So do the math. I mean, they outscored him by 17 points when Chalmers was on the floor, and it was a toss-up game when Chalmers was watching. I think he is now the third freshman who is here arriving. First was Brandon Rush, right out of the get-go. Looked like Wright was really struggling.
He was way off terrific. Last night, by the way.
Brandon was way off. His concentration was in and out all night. That one ball that just went by him, it was weird. But Wright, we've seen him play terrific recently. So
he's been fantastic.
He's the second freshman to break in
and
there.
29
and
minutes
Mario.
For Julian last night.
Yeah.
29
You're
going to
see that
That's
routinely.
6 of 7 from the floor, 12 points.
He's been their most consistent big man of late. He really has been. And, you know, C.J. Giles has fallen in love with the worst shot in all of basketball, and that is with your toe 6 inches over the three-point line. You know, those long two-pointers. It makes no sense. Wow. I don't know what – he really doesn't have a good feel for the game yet.
And for the second game in a row, he comes off the bench. You put Moody back in with Sasha Khan. And actually going to the Bill Self press conference this week, I thought it was interesting. Talked to CJ during that, and he says, you know what, Sasha and I have not been playing well together. We don't know why. Coach Self doesn't know why. But he said one interesting thing. When we practice, we're on opposite teams on the practice floor, and I always feel like I'm competing against Sasha. And so they've never really practiced together, and then they get on the court, and they don't play together. And so I think that's probably why Moody's in there with Sasha, and you're seeing CJ continue to struggle.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, it is. That's an interesting point. But the cool thing, when you look at a lot of college basketball teams, even in the Big 12, you see a lot of teams that have a tough time putting two legitimate big men on the floor. KU's got 5, if you're counting Julian Wright as a big man. And if he sees that C.J. Giles is off in Mars this particular night, he can go have a seat, and Darnell Jackson will play in his stead, and they don't really lose much.
Darnell was much better last night. They both played 17 minutes. C.J. Giles, arguably the most talented guy on this team, right? 17 minutes against who? Who
did they play last night? Privateers.
New Orleans Privateers. 2 points and 2 rebounds in 17 minutes? No offense, but there's a chance that D.J. Wetter could stand on the court for 17 minutes, get 2 rebounds and 2 points.
You know what? He played 10 minutes.
And you're a gamer.
C.J. only played 10 minutes last night.
Ooh. Oh, he
it
did?
Was Darnell Jackson.
Well, 7 less minutes there.
The Curtis Townsend Seattle connection had a grand total of 10 minutes last night. When you look at Roderick Stewart is with SC, didn't have a good
game
last
night. They
got
beat last night. Yeah. That win we were talking makes KU look a little bit better.
Yeah.
Cal knocks off USC, who knocked off Carolina, who knocked off Kentucky.
Now, comparative scoring,
like
you know?
That, but man, there's got to be a parallel to this somewhere, right?
Let's go back a year. Comparative scoring. Cal Poly was actually better than the national champion, North Carolina, and you only need to go with one school
there's only one connector?
One connector. And that was Santa Clara. Santa Clara beat North Carolina
and was beaten
by Cal Poly. So Cal Poly was really the mythical national champion.
Yeah. Wow.
They won 6 games.
In football, that would have been true.
But C.J. Giles, 10 minutes. Good for Self on this one. Good for Self that he said C.J.'s not into it.
And now he's got another option, though, in Darnell. Darnell shows up. Now C.J.'s got to play. There's no excuse. He could kind of slide by there with no Darnell. Because who else are you going to put in? Julian's not ready to play the four, even though he's played much better. The only other option is Sasha. Sasha's getting into foul trouble, so C.J. gets minutes no matter what happens. And last night, Coach Self made it abundantly clear, if you don't practice well, you don't play at all. And Micah Downs is the first to be able to stand up and say, I think he's telling the truth, guys. If you practice bad, you ain't playing, because I didn't play tonight.
And yeah. How many press conferences have we gone to where Coach Self says he's going to limit the rotation and then 10, 11 guys play? He said he was going to do it this week. He actually did it. He limited the number of guys who played. He had a set rotation, and he went with it, and Micah lost out. But good for Coach.
And really only about 8 to 9 guys got the bulk of the minutes.
But Mario Chalmers was the 11th player to play.
And why did he get in?
He was their best player. He got in because Steven Vincent had a cut.
Cut on his arm.
Yeah,
he got cut on his elbow. They cleaned it up with about 4 minutes left in the first half. He was not ready to come into the game. Self mentioned last night he didn't think Mario would play. He said he asked Mario before the game how he was feeling because he'd been sick. And Mario's answer wasn't, "Coach, I'm fine. I'm ready to play."
Right.
I'm not feeling good. I'm okay, I guess. And so Self was... His response to us was, if you want to play, that's not the answer.
Right.
The answer
he said, they still don't get me.
Coach, I'm fine. I was puking 2 hours ago, but I'm ready to play right now. And that's the answer Self wants. But
yeah.
He had no option, though, last night. And Mario, sick, plays his best game.
You know, and he was one mistake away from going back to the bench and never seeing the floor again. And what would we be saying about his confidence now if that had happened? But he stuck with him, and they went on a 17-0 run at the end of the first half, beginning of the second half.
Yeah,
23-19 when they started that run.
11-0 run at the end of the first half, 2:30 to go.
And then
Chalmers
6-0,
had a couple steals.
And it was the same five guys. Yeah, Chalmers and Robinson really got it going defensively. The five guys were Chalmers, Robinson, Rush. It was really the only stretch where Rush played well because it was up-tempo, and that really suits him. And then the two big men were Julian Wright and Darnell Jackson. That was the five that really got it going for him last night.
What do you think about Case, though, the last couple games?
He's going to have a role on this team.
Where did he come from?
Wow. And he's got a quick release on that three.
He's got a trigger on him, doesn't he? That was impressive from Jeremy Case. And if he's going to play that role, then Micah can continue to sit on the bench because that's what he brings to the squad, too, if he's not going to play defense.
But Micah can bring more. And he can bring better defense
than
Case.
But he hasn't.
He hasn't, but he can. He can. And, you know, that – couldn't have worked out better for Self trying to hold a carrot, a motivational carrot in front of Micah Downs than for him to sit and for Jeremy Case to fill his role beautifully, hitting 4 of 6 three-pointers. That's got to be a great motivational tool for Micah Downs.
And Jeremy Case out-rebounded C.J. Giles last night. 3-2. I don't know what that stat means. I don't know why I'm saying it right now, but he out-rebounded C.J. Giles.
Oh, man.
And Robinson played well.
He played real well, I thought. I think he plays better with Mario Chalmers than he does with Jeff Hawkins for whatever reasons. They seem to have a real good chemistry together, and before long you could see that being the starting backcourt.
Russell, by the way, out-rebounded CJ last night, too. I don't know what that means either.
Well, CJ only got
Did we ever introduce ourselves in this thing?
No.
I think we got carried away with
we were rapping.
Yost Podcasters raps. That is Andy Samuelson right there. Say something.
That's me.
That's him. Tom Keegan, the Journal World Sports editor, is in the house. The old human beatbox is also with his DJ Wetter.
I also
had
10 minutes in the game last night.
We had no idea.
I could have
easily gotten those. And I'm Kevin Romery, Six News Sports Director. Thanks for joining us, everyone. The last edition of Spotcasters for 2005. True story?
Wow.
True story.
Who knew?
Wow.
But, hey, stay tuned. 2006. Spotcasters is going to blow up.
Wow. Spotcasters really? Plus, baby.
You're kind of in charge of running the show, so you got a little pressure on yourself there.
Hey, this is just a taste, people.
It's how the Sandman rolls,
just
right?
Just a taste. That's right.
Wow. New year, new format.
We got to do better than rapping. Good. I can't get worse than that.
And KU's got to do better than they did last night. Bill Self said, hey, if we play this way, we're not going to win road games in the Big 12.
Let me ask you a question. Do we have an emotion problem on this team? We've talked about no one steps up, but listening to players talk after the game, Mario before the game doesn't really want to play. Julian, he's not really outgoing. I talked to Rush after the game. He's just goofing around half the time. Does anybody get it?
I don't think they do, and you know why they don't. If you look at what has gone through Kansas basketball the last 6-8 years, right? These guys that have come through that are young, that are really talented, like the group they have now, have always had a junior, senior class to look up to where playing at Kansas really meant something to them. You look at Wayne, Keith and Aaron. They came up when they were freshmen. Who was here? It was Nick,
Kirk.
Drew, and Kirk. Now, you know, Drew obviously left early, but for Kirk and Nick, winning meant more than anything. Not getting to the NBA. We heard Julian Wright might do what? He might go to the NBA. Brandon Rush, he tried to go to the NBA. Micah's dad last Christmas said his son might want to go to the NBA. What are these guys' first priority? Getting to the NBA. Nick and Kirk, when did we ever hear about them going to the NBA? Never. Didn't come up with Drew until his junior season. Those guys, just, I think the priorities are different. And I'm not trying to knock the kids that are here now. I think that's just everywhere. It's rare to find the kids that really care, I think, about the programs. And when you don't have somebody, you know, that's the father figure, so to speak, like these guys don't. I mean, the guys that should be starting right now should be David Padgett, J.R. Giddens, and Omar Wilkes. Those should be three of the five. They would have played under Aaron, Keith, and Wayne. They would know what getting to Final Fours and playing hard is like. They're gone. There's really nobody to set an example.
And that's what Vincent brings. I think DJ said it when he yelled at him. I mean, you really see that he's not as talented as everybody else out there, but he really has that
he
emotion.
Cares.
Yeah, He does not want to lose. He doesn't want to lose a ball. He doesn't want to lose a game.
And he knows what playing at Kansas means. He knows that the name on the jersey, what it means to him. He's a kid that's been here. The other guys, they're 11 games in. So maybe you don't quite expect that yet. I think that will come in time. But coming in, long-term goals, I think, were a little bit different.
Well, let's go back to those three transfers then and ask this question. Would they have it in them to learn from older guys and be patient enough and wait their turn?
Would they be here, I guess, is the question.
Yeah.
And the answer to that is probably not all four of them certainly wouldn't, and Brandon wouldn't because there would have been no scholarship. But I think a couple of those pieces would. Maybe not all, but maybe Mario, maybe Julian, because I think those were the first two.
But would those other guys, if they were – I mean – in order to be a guy who's going to be followed, initially you have to be one following someone else. That requires patience. Mm-hmm. And Padgett obviously didn't have that patience.
Well, those two guys were talking about the NBA when they came in, too. I mean, obviously more Giddens than David, but I think it was a lot of the same.
Even if they were here, maybe
the
they
nature
wouldn't
of the landscape
get it
of basketball.
Maybe they wouldn't. But, you know, you had guys like Nick and Kirk. I mean, it was obvious they cared. Wayne Simeon knew what Kansas basketball was about from the time he was 2 years old. Been coming to camps here forever, and maybe those were just unique guys in unique situations. Maybe that was just a lucky 6 or 8 years of guys coming through that really cared.
Or maybe you recruit and you dumb down your expectations talent-wise and look for someone who is going to be someone who really cares about Kansas basketball. Do you do that?
Or do you
just recruit the best available player you can get and hope that it becomes a Kansas basketball.
Well, you know, like I think maybe you'd written an article earlier that, you know, if you recruit 12 McDonald's All-Americans, are you going to win the national title? And I think the consensus was no. You've got to have the two or three guys that are going to step up and be the leaders on the team, but then you have to find the guys that are happy with their roles being off the bench, just being role players. And if you've got 12 McDonald's All-Americans, no matter how good they are, nobody's going to be happy coming off the bench in that situation.
You know what? I'm almost upset with these players being too okay with. I mean, Micah Downs didn't look crushed last night. He should be ticked off right now. He should be diving for every loose ball in practice
today. He was ticked off after the McDonald's game when he got yanked and didn't play enough minutes. He complained openly to the media about that.
Right.
Maybe if we had access to the media room last night, we should have requested him last night.
We wouldn't have gotten him.
I'm pretty sure not.
I guess I'm just
waiting. Got Mulai.
Yeah.
Gary talked to him.
But you're talking about this rotation and stuff. You got one more game before it really kicks in. Is this team where it needs to be, or what's going to happen?
Well, I don't think it's really where it needs to be yet. No, but I think that's why he has turned up the volume or ratcheted up the pressure even more, and why he did what he did with Micah Downs. It's like, you're not freshman anymore. We're not babying anybody. Let's go. I mean business.
Yeah, I think Coach is a little frustrated with the urgency as well. He's sitting around thinking, these guys are just okay with what's going on. And how many times in the press conference has he said, I don't think these guys really know how tough you have to be to win a game. I mean, that's a direct quote from Coach Self. Nick, Kirk, Wayne, those guys were tough. I mean, when things got tough a couple times in seasons, Nick and Kirk, I mean, I've never seen guys play harder than those two. There's nobody to set that example right now. There's nobody that goes out there with the exception of Steven Vincent. And that's why he's getting minutes now.
I still call for Vincent to start. And Coach said once again in his press conference, he's not a guy who's ever going to start, but he's going to play a role in this team and obviously needs a role in this team. But, boy, he sets the tone. And why do we have to wait 10 minutes in before we start playing against a team like New Orleans?
But how long are you going to wait for these people to develop? Once you hit Kentucky and the Big 12, you're going to – maybe it's time to go with who is bringing it, you know?
Well, definitely that's what he's doing now. He's going with who's bringing it. He feels this team lacks toughness, and he's going with the toughest guys. Last night, Sasha Khan and C.J. Giles weren't those tough guys, and Julian Wright
and Darnell
Jackson
were. Yeah.
So he goes with them. You know, it'd be better if you had 9 consistent players than 13 talented players who sometimes are there and sometimes aren't. But
you know, it's funny. I remember when Coach Williams was here. You guys probably remember this. The big knock was KU had no depth, had great starters, nobody off the bench. Now, everybody 1 through 10 is exactly the same, and you don't know who to start. And now that's a problem.
Everything's
different.
What
would you rather have? What would you rather have?
Always greener.
These two programs are totally different, aren't they? In so many ways.
Different.
It's amazing.
All right, well, let's switch things up. How about that Fort Worth Bowl?
You know, they couldn't have gotten more out of that game
in
every
way.
KU.
Who died?
Houston. That was
the greatest commercial ever on the board.
If you weren't at the Fort Worth Bowl.
What a turnout.
5-1, would you say, Kevin?
Oh,
at least.
Man, I don't know what the official numbers were, but the pep rallies were side by side. They were ridiculous. It was all KU fans.
Yeah, and I saw the shot in one of the photo galleries on KUSports.com of the Houston pep rally right next to the KU pep rally, and tables were not full on the Houston side, and
they were empty.
Empty is exactly right. But, boy, great turnout from the fans, and as you said, Tom, could not have been a better turnout for the KU football team because they took it to Houston. And they waited all week, and Nick Reed wanted to say some things, and he certainly did after the game.
I think he wanted to say
he
more.
He tried to, and Mangino elbowed him.
Mangino looked the other way and just stared down and had a big smile, and we were kind of looking at him. And I think Nick's like, yeah, what the heck, you know, I'm done. And those Houston guys were talking a lot of smack, and they didn't do anything in that game.
And, you know, the suspense was gone as far as who's going to win the game there. And the suspense was, who's going to be named MVP? How do you pick one guy? From Kansas, they had 5 stars. I scratched it out like 4 different times. At one time, I had Swanson as my pick. I scratched him off. I put Cornish.
Charlton Keith.
I scratched him off. I put Charlton Keith. I scratched him off. And my last pick was Brian Murph because he had an 85-yard punt return. He had a 48-yard.
Good thing he returned that thing, too, after muffing the punt, or he would not have seen. He would have never made that
exactly.
Second TD catch.
48-yard touchdown reception. He had 4 receptions for 78 yards. You had Cornish, 101 yards rushing, 2 touchdown receptions for 43 yards.
2 interceptions.
Theo Baines, 2 picks. Keith had the touchdown interception, touchdown return, and he was harassing the quarterback and making a lot of stops in the run. And it ended up being Jason Swanson, 307 yards passing, 33 yards rushing. It was just they couldn't have played any better than they did. It was something.
Amazing when you think about the start of the season when we were asking, who's going to start at quarterback? Is it going to be Adam Barman, Brian Luke, or Kerry Meyer?
None
at
of the above.
Point, at that point, if you had said, who will be the MVP of Kansas's bowl game this year, it's a quarterback, pick who it is. Jason Swanson would not have been on the radar screen.
No, he wouldn't have. And if you can look at this offense, which was really explosive on this night, and that was the problem early in the year, they didn't have playmakers, they had a ton of them. And you look at it, 8 starters are back. And that's not even John Cornish. So count it as 9, really, because Cornish was even better than Clark Green. Then you look at Kerry Meyer will be the quarterback instead of Jason Swanson. Maybe you're not losing much there.
I don't think you're losing much offensively. Charles is going to be all-time offense next year, and he'll go through summer drills as a wide receiver, which he didn't do this last year. He just made the switch in the middle of the season. You got John Cornish, who I think a lot of people have argued, get the guy more touches.
Right.
I mean, he is explosive. He's the guy that can turn any play into a touchdown. Ask Houston.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I saw that a couple times. And so offensively, with as bad as things were for 6 weeks, offense can't be worse at the start
It'll be
of the
better.
Season, can it?
It'll be better,
be
I bet.
I mean, it can't possibly be worse. Big question, obviously, is do the guys that play behind all those great defenders get enough time this year to really be consistent? And they obviously aren't going to be as good when the season starts, but – you know, we've seen enough of those guys to think that the defense is still going to be pretty solid next year.
I don't know. Will they be able to harass the quarterback? Because to me, that's the most important thing. Yeah, that's the most important thing. That you really got to get after that quarterback because then your secondary looks so much better.
Paul Como looked pretty good this year. Eric Washington was good at times. Mike Rivera played quite a bit.
I thought Rivera was good.
And these are guys that were recruited and brought in here to make immediate impacts, and they just didn't really get the chance to do it right away.
Then you got Duncan.
Because those other guys became such studs. He's the best. He's the most highly recruited guy to arrive here since Mangino's taken
Duncan.
Over. He's got Brandon Duncan's got to be pretty good, right?
Right. He's got to be very talented, and obviously they have a good coaching staff defensively. But still, this defense was so special.
This defense was
so
experienced.
So
maybe the best
chemistry.
Defense, yeah.
I looked this set up. Do you realize they gave up 999 yards rushing all year? Didn't even give up 1,000 yards in 12 games. That is ridiculous. Yeah, and they're the first team as a defense in school history to not give up an average of 100 yards rushing. So that's, and think that's of, flat out ridiculous. And think of who's played.
Think of some of the running backs they went up against. Torian Henderson. You're talking about Corey Ross. You're talking about
an injured Adrian Peterson.
But yeah, it's pretty good.
We saw what he did last night.
Yeah, he looked okay last
night.
Even
Brad Smith.
Vince Young, I mean, running quarterbacks as well, yeah.
I mean, really, they just had the bad game against
Texas. Here's the reason, though. Here's the reason the defense might be okay.
And 300 of those rushing yards came in one game.
That's a great point. But here's the reason the defense might be okay, because the schedule changes. You don't face Texas. You don't face Texas Tech. You do not face any of those South teams that really cause problems, the Oklahomas and all that. So I think with the schedule, Kate,
are you telling me that Baylor, Oklahoma State, and A&M don't scare you?
Well, Baylor, that's a scary squad. They've got – I don't know what in Waco.
Could be back-to-back bowl season.
It really should be. You talked about the offense, starters coming back. And I think
Randall maybe too. Who knows?
Who knows?
What do you think?
He's on campus. I can't think of why else he would be on campus? I can think of none to get a great education.
Every time I see him, he's in a 49ers jersey, though.
But here's the question. Think about how easy it would be to justify bringing him back, too. If you're Mark Mangino, look, I care about the kid. We gave him a chance. A zero-tolerance policy. You turn your life around, you stay out of trouble, and we'll let you play football again. Because he does that, he stays in school, ends up getting a degree, ends up leaving KU people, alums, with a positive feeling if he comes back next year and has a good year. I mean, you know, who's going to have a problem with that?
Well, a few people will. And I can understand
the people
why.
He punched?
I mean, how many? Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some things there that we don't know the entire story, so when he
allegedly
details,
punched.
But you know, these weren't all things that just hurt him by himself. And he has had how many chances?
Eight,
I mean, to take devil's advocate here, but, I mean, one chance, two. Would the World Company give all of us that many chances?
No, but we can't cut back like he can. Actually, what is his style as a runner?
Fast.
Yeah.
Really fast.
I'll be honest, though. I want to see John Cornish have a whole game to himself.
Yeah.
The guy is fast, but he runs people
and Randall's
over.
He's a pretty good receiver, too. You probably didn't see him, Keegan, because it's been a couple years. But he could catch the football, and he's just fast. He hits the hole in a hurry and takes off. And, you know, he was – but Cornish, man,
well,
how do you deny him carries after what you've seen now?
He look at his stats on the year. It's amazing how many yards per carry this guy gets. But here's the key question for John Randall. This is one of my favorite cliches that comes out of Mangino's mouth all the time. Because we know that Cornish does, and we know that Clark Green does. Does Randall run with his pads low to the ground? I love the way Mangino says he runs with his pads low to the ground. We'll have to keep an eye on that next year for John Randall if he's back.
Get out the tape measure
on that issue.
What else, dog?
I guess we could talk about the women. How about that?
Yeah, if you're tuning in now, the women's game. Hopefully, they'll be 11-0. By the time you really hear this, because by the time this gets up, it's going to be pretty close to game time. But great start, 10-0, 11-0 should be in the can. LaSalle, the opponent tonight, lost to Binghamton by 14. If you remember correctly, KU hammered Binghamton by 20-whatever. So if you do the comparative scoring, this should be a 84-52-ish kind of game tonight. Kansas will go to 11-0 for the first time in school history, and then they can concentrate on what really matters. Kind of in the same situation as the KU men. We really don't know a lot about this team. Confidence is high. Only opponent that anybody's even heard of is Wisconsin. Were they any good? Debatable. Texas comes in very shortly. We'll find out more, but come on. 3,600 in the field house for win number 10. Going to be a similar crowd, I got to believe, tonight. It's great for the program. Bonnie's done a tremendous job. 11-0, no matter who you play, it's a great start.
Smart scheduling, too. To start off with a lot of patsies so that you can build your confidence, young team, and so that you can generate a buzz. Nothing generates a buzz like an undefeated record. It's really, it's got people talking about it.
Seven undefeateds left in the NCAA, in the entire Division I. The other six are ranked. One of those is Virginia Tech, Bonnie Henriksen's old team. So that's the team she built that's doing pretty good there, and a team she's taken over that's doing pretty good here. I think that says something about how she runs a program.
Yeah, and say what you want about the schedule. You need to be excited about KU women's basketball because there's some good young players on the court, too. I've been impressed with Chadich, with Zinich. A lot of the good things coming on.
You just want to pronounce those. You just want to prove you pronounce them right.
Because you can't, Tom Keegan. You only got to write them. I've heard you try to. Say Ivana Chadich. Say Maria Zinich.
Ivana Chadich. Marina Zinich.
Oh, struggling.
Maria Zinich.
That's why Keegan didn't do the opening rap.
But, yeah, exactly. But
on still, Vanilla Vincent, and you gave him the nickname. You were entitled to do the rap.
That was money.
I didn't expect that.
Cool moment last night in the men's game. Rap. When they called the women's players out to the court, and they're all wearing their high heels and looking great, dressed to the nines. And just a nice ovation, quick boom, and then they're off the court. It was really cool. People care now.
And I think that will help with attendance tonight.
Probably will.
3,600 the last game out, and this one's been talked. I know we've been doing stories all week. Those three seniors, Crystal Kemp, Kaylee Brown, and Erica Hallman have been fantastic this year. And the starters, you know, they only go about seven deep, but they don't get in foul trouble. And Coach will probably hear this, and Crystal will foul out in 12 minutes tonight, and she'll get mad at me for saying that. But outside of that, they've been fantastic this year. And let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope that this is just the start and that when Big 12s come around, it's for real.
And if not this year, it will be eventually because Bonnie knows what she's doing.
She does.
Here's a question. Where will you be January 4th? Watching the big game or watching Yale?
By the big game, you mean Yale-KU?
You better be about three seats down from me on Press Row if Keegan better be.
I'll definitely be there, but I've got to figure out how to get that moxie. I'm going to go order the moxie. So
are we
going to
run highlights of that game, or can we moxie it and close our ears too?
You just know someone's going to blow it, though, and tell you.
Oh, it'll be announced probably.
They'll announce it during the game.
Hey, who do you think will win that game? I think it's going to be SC.
I'm a Big 12 homer.
Yeah.
Did you see what
speaking of which.
Yeah, Oklahoma knocked off Oregon, right? Oregon was supposed to be good, right? I'm just trying to do this more this comparative scoring thing.
No, Big 12 has been good in the Pac-10
has not been good, I don't think. Oregon lost. Who else has played from the Pac-10? Anybody? I'd have to go back and look.
Struggling.
Cal's played, haven't they?
Yeah, Cal won.
Yeah, they won.
BYU.
Yeah. I'm not impressed.
Arizona State, they played.
Arizona State barely beat Rutgers. Yeah.
I thought KU's defense was really good. I saw Texas prove that it wasn't very
52
good.
Points I'm and a half. Wasn't that what it was?
I'm a believer in the offense there. You know what? I hate the fact that both these teams had to wait 19 weeks before they played.
Yeah,
any rhythm any of them had.
Well, you do a national title tournament, well, that won't be a problem.
Nope, you start the next week. You give your top couple seeds a week off, and then you get started.
KU's last four victories, if I'm not mistaken, all against bowl-bound teams, correct?
That is true.
And against those four teams against KU scored a total of 52 points. Texas, in one half, scored 52 points against KU. That's how superior Texas is.
There's plenty of motivation, too, because, I mean, you have SportsCenter comparing this USC team. Is this the greatest team? Well, hey, Texas might have something to say about this, you know.
That's a good point.
How do you pick against?
SC will still win.
I agree with you. So. How do you pick against a team that's won 30-some in a row?
Yeah, I'll take the horns, too, and here's my problem. USC tends to take quarters off. They take halves off. They did it against Arizona State. And I'm not going to say
not against Texas, though.
Yeah, but why not? They've done it all year, and they've had 19 days off. 20 weeks off, whatever it's been, why not take another half off?
Brandon Rush should play well for them.
They just kind of had the close calls that Texas hasn't had. Texas had one close call. It was on the road against arguably another top 10 team in the nation, Ohio State, early in the season. SC, you know,
they had a couple scares, though. Oklahoma State and A&M. Those are kind of some question marks.
It was no question at the end, though. I mean, SC escaped against Fresno State and against Notre Dame. And you know how, Coach, you keep doing that pretty soon, sooner or later. You can't get away with it, and SC may win 75-6. Yeah. Who knows? But just from watching all season long, they're going to lose some time, and that catches up with you eventually. So.
You know, I wonder if the Yale game, if those tickets will be easier to get than most because this game is going to be on TV.
I think there's going
to
be some empty seats.
Yeah,
I agree.
And what else is building for that Saturday?
Kentucky.
Everybody's waiting for that game. Has anybody mentioned the word Yale? Have you heard that? It's KUUK. Come on. That's what people want to hear.
And you know what? KU is University of Kansas is the technical name.
And UK is
Kentucky University is their technical name.
Funny. That's because I think one of the schools signed up with the other name and trademarked it early. And then the other one, you know.
Is that right?
It's too late.
You don't know. You made it up.
I make up a lot of things.
I don't care.
Rajon Rondo is the best player they've played all year.
He will be.
Were you going to take us out with another rap?
No.
Rap career is ended.
Stop it.
Vanilla Vincent.
Word to your mother.
All right, that's going to do it for the Spodcasters for 2005. Should
have been done after that rap.
Tom Keegan to my left, the Journal World Sports Editor. To my right, Kevin Romery.
What? Rap
Six
City.
Sports Director. DJ Wetter.
The human beatbox.
Ridiculous.
No title needed. I'm Andy Sam, and we're out of here. We'll see you in 2006.
Happy New Year.